give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen, 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 no matter what the microphone holds. Okay, that's better. All right, so we are finishing this week on thanking through it, not thinking through it, but thanking through it, and thanking through it with generosity. What does it mean to be a generous people? What does it mean to be a giving people? Psalm 65:11 from the NLT says, "You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance." And this year, we have a lot to be thankful to God for. We've had a salvation, we've had recommitments, we've had baptism, we have new ministry spaces upstairs that are like quadruple the size of the ministry spaces we were in before. We have new ministries and new ministry leaders. We have ministry, community impact in our ministry that is beyond our imagination. Exciting Adventure was more than any of us dreamed was possible, and it happened in like 3.5 weeks, like crazy, incredible. Community partnerships, breakthroughs in marriages, freedom from addictions and struggles, an insane amount of debts paid off thanks to people submitting their finances to biblical statutes, and so much more. And it's not that it wasn't a hard year, but see, that passage says, "You crown the year with a bountiful harvest, even the hard pathways overflow in abundance." And the question is, what will we do with that abundance? And that's where God says, out of the abundance should flow generosity. And if we're honest, because we really do want to be honest around here, there's no point in fibbing or being fake. If we're honest, that can be a little hard. It can be a little difficult. Because when there's an abundance, culture teaches us to scoop it all up, to grab it, to hold it. It's a scarcity mindset. And a scarcity mindset that says there's simply not enough to go around. So whatever extra there is, we gotta grab it up. Look. At our house this week, we were making pies. Okay, first of all, I'm a cook, not a baker, but there is one pie that I really love. And so we count on everybody else to make the pies except this one pie. It is a Kentucky pecan pie, which means, this is the online feed. The bourbon bakes out, okay? But it's like chocolate chips and pecans with a little bourbon that all bakes out. It's not much, and it bakes out. It's okay. But in all the goody yumminess, right? It's deliciousness. And a scarcity mindset would be like, oh, just cut everybody a tiny piece. But an abundance mindset says, hey, y'all, come on over. We're going to make a couple. We'll just make more. It's fine. There'll be plenty to share. Let's pass that around because we serve a God of abundance who will just provide and we'll be all right. All right, that's kind of a corny Thanksgiving example. But let's talk about a real example from last year as we set a goal as a church that from the day we opened our doors, even though we were only 50% funded when we opened our doors, we would give 10% of everything that came in out to missions. And part of that is over the first 3 years, we gave a total of, $2,700 to an organization called 1,000 Churches that's committed to spreading the gospel around not only the United States, but around the world, helping church plants like us. And so in 3 years, we gave them $2,700. And one Saturday evening, we got a check in. Actually, the mail came, but Dwight had said, don't open that envelope when you get it. Open it with your church staff on Sunday morning. And so I was like, okay, I had no idea what to expect. Came over on Sunday morning and opened this envelope, before service, and it was a check for $23,000 from an organization that we donated a piddly $2,700 to. Because, see, that's what God does when we, out of our abundance, give generously, because you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. So we want to talk about generosity. And I want to tell you, generosity is not about what you have. It's about what you give from what you have. And it's more importantly about the heart from which you give it. Because you can write a check with an attitude that is not at all generous, and God is never impressed with that. And quite frankly, neither are the people you write the check to. I mean, they'll take it because money spends, but anyway, that's probably a different sermon for a different day. So we're going to be in two texts today. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians. Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, but he's talking about a church from Macedonia, and we're going to dig in that a little bit, and we're going to be in Exodus chapters 35 and 36. And so I want to take us to 2 Corinthians first. Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he's encouraging them to be a generous church. He's encouraging them to give to needs. Now, I want to say, y'all are a generous church. We are a generous church. I get that. But we can't teach on being thankful without teaching on generosity. And so we're going to do that. And so he's talking to them about being a generous church. And he does it by talking about this church in Macedonia that gave. And what is so fascinating about this church in Macedonia is the church in Corinth has wealth. And the church in Macedonia ain't got nothing. They are dirt poor. It is like a church in Haiti taking up an offering for a church in Manhattan. Okay? But they did. So Paul is talking to them about that. Paul is bragging on this church, to the church in Corinth. So I actually want to invite you to read with me 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Our online family will give you a minute to get there. We'll also have it on the screen. I know they try to zoom in so you can see it, but we want to give you a chance to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, and I want to invite you to read with me. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Pause. Go back for me, Jeremiah, please. Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Oh, that could be the heart of human beings. Let's keep reading. Go on. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. Can we just honestly ask ourselves, when is the last time we gave as much as we were able? In this culture, in the United States, when is the last time we gave as much as we were able? When is the last time we maybe even pushed a little beyond that, like the church in Macedonia did? And I'll tell you, I'm going to ask a convicting question, like, for myself. Pastor Rick, I'm going to ask us a convicting question. Because we Dave Ramsey, and we have our envelopes, and we have our charity envelopes. So that makes it real easy, because we budget what we give away every month, and that's comfortable. So when is the last time we stretched beyond our envelopes and what was habit and what was comfortable and what was planned? You know, we won't answer out loud. You know, it's okay. But it says that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. When is the last time you didn't rest in your comfort, but let your generosity stretch you beyond what you were comfortable with because you saw a need? And I have to wonder in this, like, did Paul say to them? No. You guys don't have anything. You don't have to give. Like, I look back at the times I have said to someone who came forward with a gift, it's okay. You don't have that much. It's okay. The times I have tried to say to someone, no, it's okay. And I had to repent, like, God, I let, if someone wants to give, that's between them and God. And I, quiet in the house today. Was quiet in front of my mirror this week, I'll tell you that. Entirely on their own. And I want to say that we have a church full of people who do that. We have a church full of people who see needs, who come up, who address those needs. We don't have two or three or four people who come up to me. Like, the number of people who come up with envelopes. Sometimes I have, it's funny. Like, it's funny and it's not funny. Now y'all will be watching. You're going to have to work out a different system. I'm actually going to give you one. It's go online and give to missions. And that's completely separate. Because I'll actually have two or three people waiting to see me after church with an envelope stuffed in their pocket or behind their hand because they want to pass it to me anonymously for a need that they have seen that they want me to hand it off to someone anonymously. Yeah. And then I'm like, don't give it to me. I'm the pastor. I don't touch money. Y'all are great at that. And I applaud you generously. So maybe we don't talk personally. Maybe we talk about the church. How do we do this at Bridge? Because several of y'all are new. How do we handle generosity at Bridge Church? How do we do this? Well, first of all, I mentioned the first 10% of every dollar we bring in goes to missions. That's not generosity. That's tithe. By the way, tithing is not generosity. The first 10% belongs to God. That's how that works. That is a different sermon. I can't teach that in 5 minutes. We're not going to do that. However, we're going to drop the link to that sermon in the reading plan. I think they're dropping it on the online platform right now. If you want to understand the biblical concept of tithing, both from Old Testament and New Testament, we taught on it last year. You can go to that. The link is going to be there. It'll be in the study guides this week in Bridge Builders groups. But tithing is not generosity. Tithing is giving to God what belongs to him. That for us is missions. That's what we do with 10%. The second 10% to us goes to building fund, building for the future. So that when and if a building becomes available, we have positioned ourselves to be in a place that we can actually do something about it and not have to be indebted to lenders forever, right? So we do that. For us, generosity as a church comes in the form of outreach, what we pour out to the community, what we pour into the school, what we pour into other places, how we give to the military community, what we do for the Marines, where we do other things, what we do. We'll talk more about outreach in a few minutes. But hear me, God just doesn't expect you as an individual to be generous. He expects us as a church, exciting adventure, Christmas outreach. He expects us as a church to walk in generosity, which we do. Hey, it's the GE in Bridge, generous engagement. It's what we're committed to. It's who we are. We're walking back to this text. It says they gave entirely on their own. Verses 4 and 5. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations, Paul said. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. Paul says the Macedonians, they urgently pleaded to be able to give to the need. And how about y'all, but if I'm honest, sometimes I'm urgently pleading that someone else will meet the need so that I don't have to meet the need. No, nobody? Okay. Again, we have a generous sharing mentality around here. Y'all know I'm joking. Like, I pick on me all the time because I'm not ever going to pick on anybody else, so I just pick on me, right? But that's right. As generous as our people are, there's always room. I see the missions line that comes in. There's always room. I don't see any of your individual giving. I don't look at that, but there's always room for more. And I want to say the things that we're able to do in this community are mind-blowing because of your generous mindset. The fact that we had 19 kids that needed to be sponsored up on this tree. Some of y'all weren't here last week, and you're like, what's up with the naked tree and the big red box and the crooked ribbon? Well, that's because I wrapped the box. Some of y'all crafty people should have been here. But we had 19 kids to sponsor. We did that. We bought all the coats. As a church, we were like, well, we'll buy all the coats so they can sponsor the 19 kids from Indian Head Elementary. Y'all snatched them up. I had to tell three people you can't adopt two children. We have to have everybody be able to adopt a child. And so if you didn't get to adopt a child and you really want to, give some extra to the missions line and you can help pay for the coats because, you know, you're able to do that. But I think what I want to point out in this line, because we can get really focused on what they were giving, is that Paul says, first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord. Paul says, first of all, they gave all of themselves to the Lord. And then they gave to us. In that commercial, what's in your wallet? See, as a pastor, that's not the question I want to ask. As a pastor, the question I have is, what's in your heart? Because you got to give yourself to Jesus first. That's where the true transformation is. That's where everything changes. Because on a bad day, when I'm trying to be generous, if Jesus doesn't have my heart, it's not happening. Some of you know it's been a really hard week for me. I wasn't sure if I was going to share this or not, or when I was going to share it. A year ago, Thanksgiving night, my mother died. I grew up with my grandparents. The relationship with my mother was very traumatic. But I was an only child. And so Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving at 6 a.m. meant getting up and, well, being up all night and then getting up and driving to West Virginia and taking 8 days to clean out a house and finish everything, and lots of trauma and lots of drama and no space to grieve because it all had to be done in 8 days and all the things. And so after Thanksgiving, I have given myself this week to grieve and to just kind of be. And if I don't have Jesus in my heart, and I try to come in here and give to you guys in the place that I've been in all week, y'all ain't getting nothing. Not, you know what you'd get? Y'all a bunch of grumpy people need to give more money in that box. I'm done. That's what Jesus said. Goodbye. Period. Drop mic. I'm out. I'm going to Clarity. Goodbye. Which, by the way, is not true. You guys are wonderful people. But you hear what I'm saying. Jesus changes everything. And that doesn't mean that the grieving is gone. That doesn't mean that the hard paths aren't there. It means that the abundance still flows despite the hard paths. It means that you can still be generous and pour it out even when what you're pouring out is just the widow's mite because there's not a lot in the coffers to begin with. And so the question of what's in your heart, because that dictates what comes out of your wallet, and that's what matters. And then Paul challenges the Corinthians. If you'll read with me verse 7, he says to them, because they're a real churchy church, right? But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Paul says, y'all are doing all the things. You excel in all these areas. But you also need to excel in giving. You don't just need to toe the line. You need to excel in generosity. So, church, I have to ask, how are you doing in generosity? I have to ask me, how am I doing in generosity? On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at? Now, let me give us some parameters, okay? Only Satan gets 1, and only God the Father who gave the Son and Jesus who gave his life for our sins gets a 10, okay? So we're safe on the extreme ends of the scale. But if tithing is just obedience, nobody has to answer out loud and nobody answer for anybody else. There's no poking, elbowing, or staring. No side eye. That goes at home too. No pushing people off the couch. On a scale of 1 to 10, how's your generosity? How are you doing with that? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Because God loves a cheerful giver. And you cannot outgive God. So I'll give you guys a little breather. We'll talk for a minute about bridge. Because we don't ask you to do what we don't do. When we started as an unfunded church plant 3 years ago, we determined that generosity was, again, generous engagement, part of our core. It's in the acronym. We can't get away from it. It's not just in the name, it is the name, right? And so outreach and generous engagement wasn't something we decided we would do once we were funded. We decided it was something we would do from day one. So as staffing was 50% funded, outreach was 50% funded. And as staffing numbers grew, outreach numbers grew. As we had more money for salaries, we had more money for outreach. But we never waited to pour money into the community. We never waited to give until we had enough to be comfortable. The people who came and worked and took on part-time jobs did so at half of a salary. He's not going to like that I'm going to say this, but Pastor Rick left work, left a paying job, left a lucrative paying job to come and work absolutely for free for no salary at all. Because God called him to and he's blessed him in a way that he can do that. Until we are funded, we're still not there. We're getting there. But God has called us to be a generous church. Because you know what? The world has seen a lot of bad churches. The world has seen a lot of churches wear Jesus not well. The world has seen a lot of churches be greedy and misrepresent what the church is supposed to be. And God has called us to wear him well. God has called us to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this community. Which means whether it's the widow's mite or whether it's the generous from the wealthy rich man, we are called to be generous with whatever we have at a level of generosity, and that is what we will continue to do as we grow. Are we okay, church? All right. And you know what's really cool? Paul goes on. There's a few more verses, but in verse 12, Paul goes on to say, for if the willingness is there, which gets back to the heart issue, right? He says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I'm going to let that sink in. Because we can get really caught up sometimes in what we lack. It's that scarcity mindset. For a lot of years, I struggled leaving the Department of Defense, where I had an SCI clearance and the paycheck that went with it, to be a part-time pastor, a female part-time pastor, and the salary gap that left in my family, and I felt inadequate, and I felt not enough, and I felt like I wasn't contributing to the household, and I felt like I was letting my family down, and I felt all those things. And when we couldn't give as much, and when we couldn't do as much for our friends, and what this says, what God says, it is not acceptable because of what I have or what I don't have. It's acceptable because of what I have. In other words, it's not that I have $1,000 and can give 500 of it, or $10 and can give 5 of it. It's that my heart gives the percentage of whatever it is that I have to generously give from my heart. No matter what the number is, that is not what's important. It's what the heart gives from what I have. So what do you have, and what does God tell your heart to give? Because Jesus said the widow's mite, the two little pennies that the widow gave from her tiny bit, was worth more than the gold coins that were being dropped from the rich man. So don't get caught up on the fact that your paycheck isn't that big. What is the Holy Spirit telling you to give? Because when you come from a willing heart, that is the giving that God honors. That is the giving that changes the world. That is the generosity that brings the light of the world to push away the darkness. We okay, church? So that's how we give to the people in need. All right? I'm going to jump real quick into this Exodus passage, because we talk about giving to the people and we talk about giving to the church. Exodus 35, 4 to 9. It says this. Now, Moses is talking to the Israelite community, right? God has brought Israel out of Egypt. They are wandering in the desert. They are nomadic. They do not have a home yet. They have not entered the promised land yet. But God says, you got to set up the tabernacle, which is basically a portable temple. It's like a tent church, right? But it's still got to be all of that, because it's the temple. And so in verses 35, 4 to 9, he says, Moses said to the whole Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, purple and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyed red, and other types of durable leather. Please don't anybody bring me goat hair. Just saying. I'm sure. Acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and fragrant incense, the onyx stones, and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. What's important, it says, from what you have, from this nomadic wandering tribe, from what God had blessed them with as they walked out of Israel, from what you have. Again, this is not an offering or not a tithe. They were not making money at this point. This is a generosity issue, a gift, and it's to build the tabernacle. But what I love, it says, who is willing? The word willing in the English is actually two Hebrew words. Nedeb means voluntary and uncoerced. It is a word that literally implies generosity, because it is not forced. And leb means heart, right? And it's not just the physical heart. It also means the heart, mind, soul, spirit, self, or the source of source of life of the inner person. In other words, God through Moses is inviting everyone who has a generous heart to bring from what they have. To bring from what they have to build the tabernacle. So So today, as we talk about generosity, you can do two things, right? You can give generously and designate that to missions, because we already said like 10% of every dollar that comes in regularly goes to missions no matter what. But if you specifically want it to go towards missions, then you just designate it missions and it goes into missions and it's restricted. It can't go anywhere else. Or you can say, okay, it's time to be generous with the building of the church. Maybe we'd like to see things fully funded. I mean, Pastor Jessica is about to leave. She donates, I don't know, 20 hours a week. She's on some stipend position. I can't even imagine what we're not paying her to do the volunteer work that she does. But she's going to go on her own ministry very shortly. And we can't hire an admin person at all. Not that admin is her thing. She's donating a bunch of time doing that. Pastor Rick doesn't make a salary. Maybe we have other things coming up that we're going to need to do. And you're like, okay, I'll donate. I will give generously to the building of the church, to the building of the tabernacle. I want to see the church fully funded. Then you just put it in the generosity box, the offering plate. You do that. But hear me. In 3.5 years, I have preached one sermon on tithing. And here we are talking about generosity, because the word says all over the place that God loves a cheerful giver. Jesus said, it is better to give than to receive. And we cannot talk about thanksgiving without talking about generosity. Because not only does thankfulness spur generosity, but generosity breeds and guards and builds a heart of thanksgiving. And that's what God desires for us. Now, what's really cool, by the way, we're not going to read the passage. I will just tell you the story. Moses makes this call for them to come and give from what they have, from willing hearts. That's what I wanted to say to you guys. It's a willing heart. Nobody's beating you with a Bible, like. But as they go on, the skilled workers come to do the work and the people start bringing the offerings, and the skilled workers have to go to Moses and go, tell them to stop. There's no more room. They're bringing so much every day. There's no more goat hair. No more jewels and no more gold. God has moved on the hearts of the people so much that there's no more room for any more things to build the tabernacle. There's so much abundance in God's kingdom that every need has been met and we are overflowing. By the way, we will always overflow into this community. That's why our outreach budget is as big as all our ministry budgets. What is God saying to me today? What is God saying to you today? Where do you see needs in your workplace and in your neighborhoods and in your own families? Where do you see needs in the church? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? And will you be brave enough and will you let your heart be soft enough to say yes? All that God has done. So I don't want anyone to walk away and think we're in trouble, and I don't want to not give God praise, because we started this church in September of 2020 at the height of a pandemic when churches were closing left and right. God opened the doors for us to plant this church. There were 27 churches that were supposed to plant in our denomination the year we opened the church. Two of them planted, one online only. We were the only church in the entire country to plant physically and online, and our entire denomination, God opened the door to do that. God has exceedingly abundantly blown away our expectations of what could be done in the community of Indian Head. We have not had to scrimp. We have not had to cut. We have increased salaries, outreach, everything beyond the schedule that we had planned, not because of anything we have done, but because of God's faithfulness and everyone's generosity, okay? But what could God do? What could God do if we continued to let him stretch us and pour out our hearts the same way we have been and give him all the glory?